field with an entry. So 13 betting interests, the eighth race, kind of a fun spot on the card. And of course, the stake actually is way early on the day, going as the third, the Stymie, where Mr. Buff looks looks very imposing. Let's get the Oaklawn trio of stakes, which is the other portion of the cross country. Some thoughts.
Yeah, it kicks off with the Razorback, which you know, is a race I think that's kind of difficult to envision Owendale winning. And he's going to be a pretty big favorite. It's going to be, I'm sorry, he's not going to be the favorite. He's going to be probably a co-favorite with Mystic Guide. And I would be, I'd be much more inclined to take Mystic Guide than Owendale, even off the layoff. I think Mystic Guide's a horse that always kind of hinted at ability. I think Saez is going to be a good fit. I like the race he ran in the Jockey Club Gold Cup quite a bit. And I think he ran an improved race because Johnny Velasquez put him in the game a little bit more. I think this is a horse that was victimized by dropping out and trying to make one run. He was able to get the job done in the Jim Dandy, but you know, I think the circumstance dictated that for him. So I'm expecting Mystic Guide to run well. I think he's a horse that you can lean on a little bit. I do think that Hunk of Burning Love is dangerous. I don't know if he can beat this caliber of horse at a mile and a 16th. I hope they sort of release the brake right out of the gate and he goes as fast as he can for as long as he can. I think a race similar to that J.A. Hawk Memorial at Remington on Springboard Mile Night would really be ideal for him. This is a horse that's fast. I mean, he earned a 99 buyer speed figure in the Lone Star Million last year. In the Lone Star Mile, rather, and validated it. Came back and ran that kind of race a couple of times at Remington and now again at Oaklawn. So I would probably use Hunk of Burning Love and Mystic Guide as my main two. I'd back up with Silver Prospector and Owendale. I know that Joel Rosario normally would be considered a very good fit for Owendale, but he's got to get this horse involved a little bit because if he drops way back to try and make one run, I think it's going to be difficult. And I think he's a horse that you're better off taking a little bit of a stand against. The Spring Fever is a fun race. We've seen a lot of these horses do battle at Oaklawn in the past. Amy's Challenge has obviously been at her best at Oaklawn. I'm very interested in Casual, and I wonder if Casual might be a little bit of an Oaklawn horse for course. She won that maiden race so impressively on what would have been Arkansas Derby Day and then came back with a race that was good enough for Steve Asmussen to try her in the Acorn. She went off 4-1 against Gamine. So, I mean, this is a horse that was highly regarded going into that spot. Obviously, things didn't go well the balance of the year, but as soon as she returned to Oaklawn, I mean, bam, it was like she got right back to the caliber of horse that we thought she could become last year. So I'm going to use her prominently. I think that the fact that she can lay a little bit off the pace is a major credit. And then obviously you have to be somewhat interested in Kamari. Kamari's her dirt race last year that won the Purple Martin, she'd need to run better than she did that day. She did get a big pace set up and won impressively from off of it, but it was not, you're not going to win this race, I think, with an 88 buyer speed figure. I think you're going to have to run a little bit better than that, especially with what we've seen of late from a horse like Headland and the best that we know we could get from Amy's Challenge and Sunnydale. It's going to take a little bit more. So I'm going to kind of concentrate on those two. The 5.5 makes it a little bit tough for anybody from well off of it. Mm. So hopefully Ricardo Santana can get Casual involved because she has the speed to stay close.
Now, I'm a big Casual fan. The way she ran coming back to Oaklawn was encouraging. Then the anchor leg, is the Southwest, which I don't, seems pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're just going to use Essential Quality and Jackie's Warrior. I think Jackie's Warrior is going to win. I still think there's reason to believe that Jackie's Warrior might be a better horse than Essential Quality. I just think that Jackie's Warrior is going to top out distance-wise. And I thought that his Breeders' Cup Juvenile effort was about as misunderstood as you'll see a horse's performance be. I was very, very surprised at the commentary by a lot of people afterwards that he had run very poorly and this and that, and that shows a complete lack of understanding of the way that race was run. And I bang the drum quite frequently about, you know, understanding how races are run rather than simply who won and where horses that you're looking at finished. And this is a great example. I mean, that was a scorching hot pace. This horse was always in attendance of it. He made a bold move coming to the top of the stretch and then ultimately was out finished. I think, in a mile and a 16th in a race where he looks like he's going to control the pace right from the start at a place like Oaklawn, I think he has a major advantage on essential quality. There's not going to be a big disparity in price. I don't think they'll be as close in price as they are on the morning line. I think that essential quality will be under even money. But if you're of the mind to bet a 9-to-5 shot to win, then I would certainly bet Jackie's Warrior, because I think he's going to wire this field.
That is, seemingly a consensus opinion. And it's funny because the opposite seems to, not, I won't say opposite, I would say the prevailing opinion in Florida is that, Drain the Clock, has got the opportunity to do a similar thing with Greatest Honor having to, probably be either a little closer or move a little earlier. You got any thought on that?
I agree with the sentiment. I have pretty big reservations about Drain the Clock wanting that extra ground, but I agree. I mean, it's the other difference, of course, is that Jackie's Warrior is a really, really high quality horse. We sort of don't know exactly what Drain the Clock is, but I mean, it looks like he's an improving sort, no doubt about it. I'm hopeful that, for the sake of Greatest Honor, who I think is very interesting and is a very nice horse, that one of those three rivals immediately to Drain the Clock's outside shows some interest in the opening half mile. I think there's reason to believe that they can. They have some early zip, but it's obviously going to require Jose Ortiz keeping Greatest Honor a little closer than he ever has before, because if you lose a lot of ground in a place like that, then it's going to be difficult to make it up.
Well, that's not going to be lost on Suge at all. And actually, it'll be good for Greatest Honor to have to, add a wrinkle, show a dimension in this situation.
It will definitely benefit him. One other thing I would say, and I say this, of course, with complete respect for my colleagues, this is a race where I know that from a figure-making perspective, Greatest Honor's effort is going to be analyzed very closely, because there's reason to believe his last figure could be 6 or 8 points higher.
I said that earlier, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and so if you look at, if you're generally, when it comes to making speed figures, and obviously we could talk on this about for hours, but when you're making speed figures and you have a figure that's not in line with Thoroughgraph, Timeform US, Ragazin, et cetera, you want to take a good hard look at what it is. And this is one of those where this figure is slower on the buyer scale than it is anywhere else. And it looks to me like we could easily find out after tomorrow that it should have been more like a 95. And I mean, if he's going to be a big favorite anyway, right? But if Greatest Honor had a 95 speed figure last time, he'd probably be 3-to-5 in this field.
Yeah. Well, either way, things taking shape there nicely. So, again, for everybody that was tracking this discussion, the cross-country pick 5 starts with the Aqueduct 7th, then goes to Oaklawn for the 7th and 8th, back to New York for the Aqueduct 9th, and then the Southwest closes it out. And on Sunday, it's the Aqueduct 7th, the Oaklawn 6th, the Aqueduct 8th, and the Oaklawn 8th and 9th. Again, the stakes sequence, the Dixie Belle, the Down the Dusty Road, and the Biakoa featuring Monomoy Girl on Sunday. So you get a chance to take two swings at the cross country. There it is. Nick, anything else?
No, I think that's it. It should be a fun weekend.
Excellent. Well, and we're certainly looking forward to next week with the heavy action from Gotham and from Santa Anita and more. And actually, with that in mind, I should mention next week we do have the first of the free contests for NHC, the first of the offerings from NTRA. Keep that in mind next week for the 6th, and we'll edge closer to that and have the races to offer up. And it's so strange, Nick, to to be worrying about next year's NHC, the NHC 22, when we're not going to get to Vegas until August. It's kind of odd.
It is. It's a really odd feeling to know that there's one still out there outstanding, and yet you can qualify for another. It's sort of that. It's that, we generally only have maybe one opportunity that's like that. I know the Pegasus contest that I played in 2019, there were people who finished in the top five, and some chose that year's NHC, some chose the following year's. It's kind of an interesting quandary to be in. But, yeah, I mean, the qualifying looks like it's fully up and running for 2022, and those of us that are already on board for 2021 probably need to get our act together and look at trying to qualify as many times as possible.
Well, and as we wait for Mike Welch to join us, I should mention I didn't get a chance to reach out to Brandon Lee this week, but with you on and thinking about Texas, you know, there is the extensive championship series leading into Memorial Day weekend at Lone Star. And so I direct everybody to LoneStarPark.com, handicapping dash tournaments, and I'll get Brandon in here next week, and he'll lay out the whole thing. But they've got a really nice program with a bunch of seats. So,
sure, yeah, big opportunity there for sure. Definitely point to that Memorial Day event if you can. If you're anywhere near Dallas, plan on getting there because it's a great place to visit anyway. It's a really terrific track, and they're going to take good care of everybody, and that's a really nice format. No entry fee, so it's all bankroll, which obviously is very appealing.
NTAM 1215, Nick Tamaro, everybody. Nick, good luck this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Same to you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
There we go. And we'll stay here because Mike Welch is standing by for your complete pleasure when it comes to tomorrow's 14-race extravaganza. That's the matinee, Mike, right? And then the evening card later on?
Smacks of the old Rocket Amp Park. Five races in the morning, starting at 10:30, and then nine more in the afternoon, 14 altogether. Same thing, except we don't get the hour break in between. Those were the days. I mean, that was they would get 30,000 people there at Rocket Amp Park for that card, that 14 race. Every Labor Day, it was sensational.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I love it. Well, this you know,
maybe
this is
25,
deep.
Maybe 30 is an exaggeration, but well, there were a lot of people there. The only bigger crowd that I remember seeing back in those days was at the Northampton Fair on Labor Day.
Unbelievable.
They might have had 30,000 in there, too.
Well, you're making everybody's nostalgic, and everybody's going to start to tear up if we keep talking about that.
I know the Matisses are. I know they know what I'm talking about if they're listening.
No doubt. Mike, you know, we've been focusing this morning, you know, pretty much, you know, everybody obviously with the fountain conversation, but there's so much more here, and let's kind of rifle through the stakes, and then we'll culminate with you know, with the Devona Dale and with the fountain. But it starts early. 12:26 is the first stake. Here comes the bride. Mike, hold up. We got your phone is you went.
Hold
you
on,
went.
Let me move to another spot here.
There we go. You're better
that,
right
that
away.
Better?
Much better.
Okay. A Spanish Love Affair to me is the big question mark. I picked her. It looks like that you know she's worked prepared well for her return. Cone Lima, obviously, if she gets loose on the lead. I get it's training well, but it's going to have to step her game a little bit. You know, that's how I kind of saw the race. You know, again, no big revelations here.
Fair enough. And you know, the way you just phrased that, that's sort of the way, as I went through the card, I kept having that same feeling, the McDermott, the mile and three-eighths, and they're going to have the rails down for this, down to 12 feet. So the first setting and some very familiar names here. It is notable that Moon Over Miami comes back. The Jane Lyons, homebred out of Zinze, the Malibu Moon. Nice to see him back in the entries. Junior Alvarado and Bill Mott.
Yeah, a lot of familiar faces. And, you know, Mike Maker obviously has the upper hand with three in here. But interesting to see Brian Lynch has put two in here. He's got Phantom Currency, who could help, you know, set things up a little bit for his other horse in here, Admission Office, and maybe make life miserable for Tide of the Sea, who comes off a win in the McKnight but got loose on the lead, may not have that luxury here if Phantom Currency does run. I picked Admission Office in here, ran his eyeballs out in this race last year, got beat a length by Zulu Alpha, and finished way in front of Savage Joy. That's pretty good company to sandwich there. Has won one of four starts since, been lightly raced. He's had two starts on the comeback trail at shorter distances. Looks like he's been pointing for this one with enough pace and a clean trip. You know, I think he can get there. But, you know, I mean, Mike's got Aquaphobia and he's got Temple. It's not a race you're going to be singling anybody, I don't think.
No. Is Maker, do you expect Maker to run all three?
I'm certain he probably will.
Okay.
You know, it's not like he hasn't done that before.
No. There's a maiden special that follows those two stakes. Anything fancy in here we need to know?
In this maiden special, we have Collaborate, who is a bit of a disappointment after getting well back in his first start. Blitz the Win, who I thought ran very well first time out. Big gallop out, looks like he wants to go a mile. And then there's Benny from the Bronx, who is a half-brother to Charlotte. So I'm sure he's going to attract quite a lot of attention. A Tappet colt, trained by Chad Brown. Chad Brown not having a Chad Brown kind of meet so far. This horse has a lot of work. He's got IRAD aboard, got the breeding, but, you know, I nothing much I could tell you. He's been training up at Patience, so unfortunately we don't have any eyes up there. So it should be an interesting race, though. It would be interesting to see how Collaborate bounces back after that kind of unlucky trip at his first start.
I will mention Roderick Rodriguez on the rail, Campeador, who's over at Calder. That happens to be a half to Mucho Gusto.
I understand that. But he's a New York grad. Yeah. Got distance the first time. He's put blinkers, getting LASIK. You know, I could see him improving, but
he's a turf, I think.
You're standing alone there, I think, buddy.
No, I'm just, I just, you know, in terms of sibling strength, I wanted to point it out.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he wants turf anyhow. Ultimately, he's a Jack Milton. So
I mean, he was a half to Mucho Gusto for his first start and still went off 31-1. So. That hasn't changed.
The Palm Beach, the three-year-old boys on the grass, and feels like a nicely matched bunch.
Yeah, a lot of possibilities in the year, and you know, with these kind of horses, it's just hard to predict how much some of these up-and-coming lightly raced horses are going to improve from start to start, or who might bounce a little bit off a big effort last time. Visually, I was really impressed with Annex's first race for Bill Mott. He had a sweep very wide into the stretch. I like the stride on him. I know the race kind of set up for him, but I thought he could probably win. I like Arzak. You know, he's won on the artificial, and then he came back and won at the turf at Tampa pretty easily. Trained well here over the turf. Gets IRAD. He's obviously, you know, with IRAD on, going to lose some price there. So those were the two I picked on top. But, you know, there's others you can make a case for, too.
There's then an allowance that follows the Palm Beach, and one horse just because I'm a fan of Mr. Cowan and you know, a lot of his horses. There's that Constitution colt coming back off the allowance win. Superfecto, American Angel, the Ghost Zapper Dam happens to be a daughter of Society Selection, and you know, this is a, you know, pretty classic Irv Cowan family.
Yeah, I hope I can get 10-1. I doubt I will, but comes off a huge race.
Oh, you picked him.
Number.
You picked,
I picked
him.
Yeah.
He wow.
Comes, for a couple of reasons. First of all, he comes off a huge number, and Ralph did the right thing. He gave him, you know, plenty of time off to recuperate, and he's just been working terrific. So I had a go with him. I know it's a big step up from what he beat to what he's going to have to face here. So, but, you know, just having seen him work, I've always liked this horse. You know, I've always liked him. I cashed a bet on him when he won that mile and a 16th here off some good works back in May, and he's got a fond spot in my heart here. And just, but the way he's working, I think he could win. You know, with Amicia, hopefully he'll get him right out there and get him, if not on the lead, you know, close up. I think Untitled, if he breaks, is going to be in front. I'd like to see Superfecto, you know, chasing Untitled, not getting in a battle with him. But we'll see how that, you know, you never know how those things are going to work.
No, I'm glad I brought I'm glad I brought it up, actually. And that gets us to the Canadian turf. And these are the four-year-olds and up that are going to go a mile and a 16th. And there's a couple of horses trying to knock on the door and break through. That includes Olympic Runner, who has certainly had some chances for Cassie and Gary Barber in stake company. Been a while, though, back to 2019 since any stake success. That was in the King Corey at Woodbine, going short on the synthetic. But Eon's in here for Delacour. Danny Gargan's got Venezuelan Hug. There's quite a bit happening in this group. Todd on the outside with Waterford's Winter's Back.
Yeah, I don't have a solid opinion here. I pick Winter's Back. He looked like a horse that's getting better with every start, but I had a gun to my head, and I have to make picks. But Olympic Runner beat him last time and had a pretty brutal trip. I don't know how much that's going to take out of him. I mean, he broke bad, fell way back, and luckily for him, the race really collapsed, and he finished full of run. It was a big effort. I mean, he come back and won again from a little closer striking position this week. If he breaks, it certainly wouldn't surprise me. Just, it's a race I'm not playing.
One race that has sort of escaped much attention, or at least I haven't seen much conversation about the Gulfstream Mile, which is okay.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping Dale might sneak Mr. Freeze in here after missing the race at Oaklawn because of the weather a couple of weeks ago, but he did not show up. That would have made it really interesting. All eyes are going to be on Performer. He really had to earn that 4-5 last time. Winning the Hooper. It was a pretty gut-wrenching stretch duel with Eye of a Jedi, who, always, slides right under the radar here because of the connections and just runs well every time.
Yep.
But I'm just wondering, they're coming back in 5 weeks, how much that took out of them. I mean, watch the replay of that race. They were ding-donging it all the way down the stretch pretty good. The big question mark in here is Tax. Everybody's, now pretty sure that he can't win without Lasix, even though he did win without Lasix when he was a maiden. I gave him one more chance. He's putting blinkers on. He's turning him back to a mile. If he doesn't run well in a year, I'll get on that, Tax can't win without Lasix bandwagon. But, he's certainly the class of the field. He beat most of these easily in the Harlan's Holiday. Granted, he had Lasix, and he got a pretty good trip that day on the lead on attractive favorite speed. But, to me, he's the class of the field. Performer beats him, he beats him. But I went with Tax.
One horse I want to at least mention and see if you have any feel, and I'm looking forward to Dave Norton's comments on Fearless, who makes the five-year-old debut and, last seen in the Foster for China Horse Club and Todd, sort of has a right to come back running.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't in contention in the Foster. He was in there, but he didn't really factor at all. It gets IRAD. I think the works on him have been okay. I looked, breezed through the report quickly on it. Almost nothing would surprise me here, especially if Tax doesn't show up again. So,
now, that's the Gulfstream Mile. We'll skip over that turf allowance unless you got something clever.
No, let's skip over. Skip on.
You got it. Get to the Honey Fox, and Got Stormy makes her debut as a six-year-old mare for the New Connections, my racehorse in Spendthrift.
Yeah, I just had to not pick her on top just because of the short price, and she's going to be overbet because of her reputation. I mean, she's back at a mile. She hasn't won a race in a mile since the Matriarch about 14, 15 months ago. She's working great. She always works great. So I don't know how much stock you can put in that. I just had to be a contrarian here at the price, and I went to Zofel again. I thought she was pretty impressive. Winning the Marshall's River off the layoff. I just took a chance there for a little value. And also, Rosetta, I got to see one of her pacing works on tape, and it was pretty good. I mean, she's lightly raced, and she's been away a long time, but I guess I couldn't rule her out completely, although she's pretty inexperienced. She's giving a lot of weight to these other fillies, so maybe not to tomorrow, but maybe down the road a little bit.
That gets us to the Devona Dale and the return of Equist, making her three-year-old debut, the Nyquist filly, the champion two-year-old for Gary Barber, Adam Wachtel, and partners, and draws the three in here. And I see where there's some people eager to take a little stand against her as well.
That was one of them. I you know, again, it's just value versus logic. This isn't her goal. Her goal is the Kentucky Oaks. If you read the Clocker notes, there's some interesting comments from Donald. I'll just leave it at that. Nothing really negative at all, but interesting, just the way you put it. Look, she may run off the screen. I mean, numbers-wise, she's best. We know she's the best, was the best two-year-old there last year. She deserved her Breeders' Cup Award, I mean, her Eclipse Award. I just took a shot with Millie Fooley, or however you pronounce it. You know, good effort. I know it was in the slop of the Demoiselle, but, you know, that was a 9 furlong. She may be better in a mile. It looks like she's better in a mile. I got to see a couple of her works on tape. I like one of them for what I saw. So I just had to go against Vaquist at 4-5. You know, it's just going to be one of those overhyped, overbet, IRADs on it, so you lose another half a point there. You know, she may win the Kentucky Oaks down the road, but, again, I'm just going to guess, you know, she's not cranked 100% here. And, you know, Millie Fooley looks like a pretty good horse. So that's how I went. That's how I saw it. Everybody else may disagree, but if Vaquist wins, you know, good luck to her. She's a really good filly, and, you know, Butch and Ginny, you know, just hats off. They have her ready to win here first time out, and hope they can go all the way to the Oaks.
Do you have any feel or thought for what you've been seeing from Lady Traveler? I'm kind of interested.
You know, she trained well up to that last race. She ran well. Coming out of the race, the two works, to be honest, the February 13th work, I missed most of it in the rush. I got to see her finish and gallop out. She looked good. And I thought her last work last week was good. You know, like she's a horse that could move forward. I know she's going to have to really improve numbers-wise. I picked a third, you know, basically off of the last work and the way she seems to be progressing. And I think, going a mile, I mean, off that 7-ace is a nice progression for her. But third was the best I could do.
You didn't mention, well, you did. I see this now that you picked her third. Kenny McPeak as well, we should note. Crazy Beautiful makes her seasonal debut here.
Yeah, she's doing okay. I mean, she's only had three works here, which, you know, I guess she's been working on the farm before she got here. You know, three seems a little quick to bring her back, like she might need one off the layoff there, because most of these other fillies that he's brought back in here, like Simply Ravishing, she worked this morning. She worked very good. And, you know, the two older horses, and Butanti and the big horse, they've already had 4 or 5 works, and they're going to have more before they run. So, you know, just a bit quick. The race came up. I guess he figured she was doing well. She put her in, and, you know, she figures to run well. I'm just not sure I want her to win in here this week anyway.
Well, and you mentioned the big horse, Swiss Skydiver, and the
fact, Swiss Skydiver,
Kenny had him out this morning, right? Was that this morning you tweeted? I think it was.
Yeah.
Or was that yesterday?
She worked today. She worked really early. No, she worked this morning, right about right before 5:30. She went solo. She went well. Last week she went a little too fast, I thought, and got a little tired. Today, a little more relaxed, and you know, galloped out a full mile in 42 and change. She's getting close. I'm not sure exactly what he's looking for. He regretted there's no race for her here, at least in the book. So unless they put up something overnight for him, which I'm guessing won't happen, she's going to run somewhere out of town. I didn't talk to him today after the work, and when the last time I spoke to him, he was still noncommittal about when or where she'd return.
Gets us to the very one, the very one, and exactly. Otherwise, Marty, you'll get mad at me. And the Fountain of Youth, and of course, California Queens debuting here for Matticat and Michael Dubb and partners for Chad, the Lope de Vega filly, last seen at Longchamp in the fall. And you know, I thought if it wasn't going to be, you know, first time North America, you know, powerhouse performance from the Chad trainee, I thought Antoinette and Tune. You know, seemed, you know, very obvious.
Yeah, I just took a shot with California Queen. Seems like the works have been good, and from the reports, and, you know, I just don't think this is a stellar field. I mean, yes, Antoinette you know, did run second in the Belmont Oaks, but then kind of a head scratcher the next time out in the Grade Three. I just you know, kind of taking a chance here. The California Queen might be a notch better than these, and no chat will have her ready first time off the bench here.
That gets us to the feature, and
sorry, I'm out of time. I gotta go. No, I'm only kidding.
Found a youth.
I'm only kidding. I know.
Okay.
I know.
I know you're tight. What do you think?
I picked Greatest Honor. I just think he's the real deal, and you know, maybe he ran too good last time, and he's going to regress a little. And even if he regresses a little, it may be good enough. You always worry about a horse like this. You know, with his running style on this racetrack, if things just don't work out around that first turn, he could get himself too far back, you know, and leave himself with too much to do. Last time, Jose rode him brilliantly. He had him in just the perfect spot. You knew by halfway down the backstretch he was going to win that race. And hopefully things will break well for him again. I picked him. Betting-wise, I loved him at 5-2. I'm not going to want him at 6-5 today. Again, and like Shook says, you know, the goal is the Kentucky Derby, and this race is a mile and a 16th. It's not his best spot. If he come on a little late and got beat, I don't into the world. I just think he's probably better than these. I think of it as an upset threat in here. It's draining the clock. Just a huge question mark on the distance, but this track, if anyone's going to carry this horse a mile and a 16th, it's this track. He's doing well. I mean, he's been virtually unchallenged in all three races here. Be interesting to see what they do with Prime Factor, if they go out after him or if they leave him alone early, which I think would probably be the wise thing to do, and hope he comes back to them. Fire at Will? Question mark. I don't know. You know, he works on the dirt. He works okay. He doesn't work any, you know, spectacular. He's always worked on the dirt. I don't think he can make anything from his one dirt race because it was in the slop against a three-horse, you know, in a four-horse field. But, you know, we've seen these things happen before, you know, with turf horses that transfer their form over and become spectacular on the dirt. So there was a horse called Barbaro, I seem to remember, that did that coming down here as a turf horse. And
That's right.
The rest was history there. So it can happen.
Well, and it was it the Fountain that was his the closest anybody came to beating him, which was Sharp Humor. That's the closest the horse came to beating him.
Yeah, and is that the race? I think I picked Sharp Humor that day. I tried to beat him with Sharp Humor because he had trained so well, and he got the perfect trip, and Barbaro still beat him anyway. So I think Barbaro had a bad post that day, and that's why I tried.
I think you're right.
And Barbaro ran him down anyway.
Beat him by half length. On Sunday, in addition to this card, Sunday happens to be a couple of very nice races. There's a bunch of maiden specials for three-year-olds, including a dirt three-quarter race with a bunch of firsters, and including
Don't
Harvard.
Ask me about it. I haven't even opened the pages yet.
Well, I will ask
you. So we're on Saturday's Pocket Report.
Well, and as you wrap up, I will ask you about today's fourth race, where Warrior in Chief, Known Agenda, Amount, Top Gun Tommy. This is at 2:37. People should tune into this.
Yeah, it's a great race. I don't know what to do with Known Agenda. You know, the works were terrific going into the Tampa Bay Derby, and he just didn't show up. You know, that track, some horses just spin their wheels over.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really talk to Todd about what his thoughts were. I mean, the stablemate was eased, so, you know, you had two Todds at there that you just scratch your head over. Seems to be working well coming out of it. I'm inclined to give him another chance. Will I bet him at 7-5 or 6-5? Absolutely not. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, this is the race Prevalence would have probably been in had he not had a setback. I'm pretty certain that this they would have run here and not in the Fountain of Youth. But and it would have made it really a race to make sure you tuned in on. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So we'll just have to wait on him another day.
Well, these are certainly auditions for Florida Derby potential or other Derby trail cameos. We'll see. Good race today.
My advice to bettors, though, is to have a healthy bankroll for Saturday and Sunday. 26 races. Over 2 days. So a healthy bankroll and a lot of stamina. There's a lot of racing going on here.
Unbelievable. 26. That's great. Mike, I appreciate it. The Clocker Report later this afternoon, drf.com/.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be too late today. I got a
nice
pretty good jump on it for Saturday. So, and I have to get started on Sunday. So it'll be out, I would say, by 3 o'clock at the latest.
Perfect. Perfect. Looking forward to it. Should be a fun day. And
one addition too that we have a special deal on Saturday's Clock Report. I think it's 25% off for the daily, for the single copy. So I think that's what they told me. So just let everybody know that too. It's going to be a big report. So it's going to be worth every penny, especially at 25% off. Yeah, at least
absolutely.
Going in. Coming out, people may not agree. We'll see.
Mike Welsh in rare form today, everybody. Mike, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
He's so great. DRF Welsh, everybody, for your coverage down there. And Marty, too, of course, will be pitching in. Gives us about 8 minutes, or give or take, to wrap up on the day. And the weekend preview brought to you by Twin Spires. And opportunity to talk to Papo. Papo Morales joins us from AmWager for a form to win session. And we'll pick a couple of races. But the first order of business is to congratulate Papo on the nice push the other day. Well done.
Thank you, Steve. It's always nice when it works out the way you draw it up. So it was just glad that we could get it done for some of your listeners.
Well, that was in the stake, too. And that, you know, as it happens, it really should mention that Miss Aramet, when you looked at the paper, she really there, you know, she was okay. And the fact that, you know, that Form to Win had her as, you know, the second fastest essentially on the analysis, and then you folded in, you know, the system that you've crafted, which includes the Equibase figure as well. And if horses that appear in the top three in both of those areas are the ones that you're focusing in on. And in this case, there were two. There was her and Lindsay's Lucky Lady. And, you know, Miss Aramet, if you're somebody that dutches, you know, meaning, you know, win bets on, you know, a couple of horses, 8-1 was a very acceptable number on Miss Aramet.
Yeah, it was. I was actually, the longer price was their turn for home and before she folded down the lane. But yeah, I'm glad we could get one of the two home. You know, it's okay to, you know, they weren't favorites, so I'm willing to take shots like that from a betting perspective. They've got some good odds on them.
Well, and actually, I didn't get a chance to, you know, to really dissect the whole thing, but I did notice that when you put up the screen and the two screen captures, and I retweeted it, Ode to Joy actually was in the top three, you know, the runner up at 8.5-1. The runner up for a $120 exacta was actually, I think, second, right, on the Equibase analysis.
She had the second Equibase average, and she had a good body of work. So when you have plenty of races on you, and you know you can average it out, the numbers are legitimate.
Talking about Form to Win, form2win.com. I need you to visit, download, and we're going to, over, you know, the next several months, we're going to keep trying to fine tune and help you adjust, you know, the analyzer system. You can pick for each of the race, you can set a parameter of distance and a variety of other tools, and we'll, you know, absolutely take you step by step. You also have got the opportunity to read through a multi-page guide at the website for now, for today, and then next week, Papo will pick out another element of Form to Win. This weekend, though, let's get a couple of play ideas.
Sure, Steve. I was looking at the later races in the Gulfstream card, so I want to try to play some of those multi-race bets, but a lot of them, and things may not be as formal, but a lot of them seem like they could be a bit chalky.
Mm-hmm.
So I've backed it up a little, and I didn't pull the PPs for this race. I just strictly used Form to Win, and I was looking at race 8 at Gulfstream, which is the Grade 3 Canadian Turf, and the horse that is second on average form to win speed without even, before I even put in my own particular filter, but then when I put in my filter, she ranked second also, is the one horse, Busy Channel, for Larry Ravelli.
Sure.
She fits on pure speed, and, you know, I looked at her odds, and she was 12-1, so I'm gonna have to unfold or unpack that race a little bit more, but I'm definitely going to keep my eye on the one and try to work her in to some of my wagers. It looks, when I actually printed the actual physical PPs, there's not a ton of speed in this race. And I don't know, Larry's pretty crafty about shipping horses in. And so I think Busy Channel, you know, in a race that looks a little bit wide open. I mean, Olympic Runner's the favorite, and he's a dual qualifier on form to win, both on average equibase and the average form to win time. But right below him on form to win is Busy Channel at a nice price. So we'll see if we can get that one involved.
Well, and in fact, you know, you're not sure if you're you probably were listening to Mike, and if you heard when we came to the Canadian turf, that same scenario about a little bit less of a, you know, of a contentious pace for Olympic Runner and for, you know, anybody else that wants to try to rally. I mean, horses like Eons and Venezuelan Hug also are looking to come from off the pace. I suppose Winter's Back, who I brought up the summer front for Waterford on the outside, is a horse that, you know, likes to be, you know, fairly prominent. And I guess Gear Jockey probably, you know, Corey Lannery probably chases and sets up a stalking bid, you know, off of Busy Channel.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. It's there's a couple of races on the Gulfstream card that are like that. It's either the favorite's going to win or it's going to be an opportunity for chaos. I know that Devonna Dale, I know you were talking about that earlier, and I mean, I guess VQuist just on class may be good enough. The work pattern's a little bit of a mystery, and I know she's not going to be cranked, so if she doesn't get it done, you know, in a race where a lot of people are going to be singling, there's just an opportunity there to try to find something, you know.
What does Form to Win say?
Well, Form to Win doesn't help me in that because it does rank her top. And it has Kenny McPeak's filly in there, Crazy Beautiful, who's also ranked up there. So, and it's, you know, obviously Form to Win's not taking into account the layoffs for both of those horses. But I came up with a horse that was a little bit crazy from a price standpoint, but on replay work was the 7 Competitive Speed. I didn't like her last race, but when I watched the replay, she did not look like she was happy being down on the rail. And she won the Glitter Woman at the track and won it going away. So, you know, on a backups or anything, I may throw her in case there's some chaos.
Interesting. She's certainly, you know, she's certainly a horse that's got some speed, and she can, you know, she can attend the pace without demanding it either. So, at some point turning for home, she could be hanging around. She put together that, you know, she started out cheap, but she, you know, she climbed the ladder pretty quickly. The class test in the Forward Gal didn't go well, but you know, Javier Gonzalez comes back again, tries against the heavy heads. Anybody else, anything else from the card or elsewhere?
Just go to the Fountain of Youth, since I know everybody will be playing that. It does look like Greatest Honor, both double qualifier, both on equibase and average speed. But there's a horse that runs second on Form to Win, who's a prize, and that's the 10-horse Poppy 2.
Yeah.
Second to Greatest Honor off pure Form to Win speed. And I don't know, Toss's last race, I mean, he looks like he came back a little quick after a peak performance off a long layoff. And that's an angle I always like to use to play against. And you get him back here in this spot. So I may try to mess around with him in the exact if we can get some of those other ones out of there.
Nice. Pappy 2 for Antonio Sano. Formtowin.com. Download it, play around with it. There's going to be, I think starting next week, you're going to have free race to use. You know, get familiar, and powerful tool, and we hope we can help you identify more winners. Papo Morales, good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. You have a great weekend.
Papo Core 1, follow Papo. Mike Welch, Nick Tamaro, Ed DeRosa, Jay Pridman, James Scully, and Hammer, and of course Casey on the board. This week flew by. Should be a great weekend. We got lots of fun racing, including right this afternoon, right away, Gulfstream 4th, and then the Battaglia and the Trophy tonight at Turfway. I'm going to have a bunch of things I'll write up for tomorrow, and we'll wish you good luck. Sirius XM coverage all over the place this weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday at the races. Good luck, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.